Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
You know, you just shake your head sometimes. You just do. Because there's so much information that's coming in the Nancy Guthrie case from so many different places. And the places that should be solid sources sometimes are, sometimes aren't. Sometimes this means something, sometimes that means something. At the end of the day, an 84-year-old grandmother with a heart condition was taken out of her own home in the dead of night. 5 months later, no body, no arrest, no answer. Harvey Levin offered to pay the Bitcoin ransom himself and track the money on camera. The FBI, he says, ghosted him for a month and told him to stand down because they're making progress. Meanwhile, today, this morning, this is new, Sheriff Nanos decided to get up, have a cup of coffee, and go on local radio and tell people, quote, I think... This is the quote, quote, I think, .. the FBI has done a number of arrests for fake ransom notes. He thinks the sheriff running this investigation isn't sure what the FBI is doing on his own case. That's where we're beginning this week. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us to help us break all of this down. And I think the headline this morning is Nanos. And I don't know if it's a headline. And I don't like jumping onto things that we don't know a lot about. But it is the story. He is an official with power in this case saying that I think the FBI has done a number of arrests for false or fake ransom notes. He thinks. Robin, what's your read on that?
That's something you just shouldn't say.
Yes.
Yes. You know, to think, you know, when you, it's nothing but a caveat. You know, it's a qualifier for, you know, it's a qualifier.
It
He's
is.
Qualifying things that are coming out of his mouth. In other words, it's given him the ability to backtrack it if it's not true. If you're in a position of knowledge, authority, leadership on an investigation, any investigation, the last thing you do is present possibilities to an audience. You present facts, data, and details to an audience. I mean, here's an example. So when my team, when we would do a behavioral assessment for a case agent in the field across the country, we did hundreds a year. And here's what we would do. We would go into the field office. We'd get all the materials ahead of time that we possibly could from the case agent, from language specialists, from subpoenas, FISAs, all this thing. I'd spread it to my team. So we'd take on all this knowledge, kind of like what we do on the show here, taking all the facts, data, and details. Then we go on site. We talk to the case agent themselves and any other experts they want to bring in to tell us about the individual we're going to be interacting with or creating a strategy around. And then the most important thing happens. We kick the case agent out of the room while we deliberate. Because when we deliberate, we're going to say things like, I think. But you don't want to say that in front of the person who's actually receiving the information, because they'll lock onto something that may or may not be true. And that when that happens, they'll go down rabbit holes that go nowhere. They'll get sidetracked over here. They'll see something shiny over here. When you present to the consumer of your information, you have to be succinct, you have to be precise, you have to be accurate, and you have to be truthful. And so when you come out and give statements like, I think, you created more chaos in the world, so not less.
I mean, it's really par for the course with this. I'm not shocked by this statement. It certainly makes a headline. What just gets me about it is the seeming aloofness to it, that saying these words out loud are going to have an effect. He said from the get-go, I'm not used to people taking my words seriously, or something of that nature. Well, maybe 6 months into this shit show, you should be. Maybe at this point, there's cause and effect to the things that come out of that hole in your head and the way that people react to them. And when you're talking about this, this is real life. This is a woman who is missing, who's probably dead, who has a family, who is grieving, who's being accused of being involved. They're going through their own hell, and you're just kind of like, well, I think. How about you just shut the F up if you got nothing to say? I mean, that might be the best route. I don't know. Call me crazy.
I agree. Well, you know, to me, it's very disrespectful and it's arrogant.
Yeah.
I don't care how many reps you have. I'm 22 years with the FBI before I retired, and then I retired in 2018. I've been doing commentary for a long time now with you and other shows and on TV. The most important thing you can do is show respect to the people you're communicating with, understanding what they expect to hear from you, and prep. Yeah, every single time. I mean, I worked with case agents inside the Bureau that had been in the Bureau for 25 years, 30 years. When we were consulting, providing information and feedback, I don't care what it was. Everything we did, we prepped and we strategized how to present the information to others. Even though we had experience, we never, ever shot from the hip. We strategized as a team. What's a unified message we're going to put forward? And here was another rule we had. We would have one speaker that represented the team when we're presenting our thoughts and opinions to consider. That's how we framed it. And we had one voice. If there was a dissenting voice on our team, you weren't allowed to say anything unless you asked permission and say, listen, Robin, I have another thought on this based on this. Would you mind if I interject that, or should we hold it to the end? Because we become extremely professional and respectful of the process so that we don't have mishaps like this. There is never, I don't care how expert you think you are, don't shoot from the hip when people aren't expecting it. Now, you can caveat things that, listen, just off the top of my head, I haven't given this a lot of thought. In other words, you should caveat things that you haven't given thought to if you're going to shoot from the hip. But when you shoot from the hip like that, I find it disrespectful and definitely arrogant, because he doesn't think he needs to contemplate anything before he says it.
And I mean, let's examine what he would know for a moment. There's two totally different agencies, obviously. This is the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And then you have the FBI. Two totally different investigations going on, you know, simultaneous, but FBI is in the lead with this now. Would he know if they're arresting people? If the FBI is honing in? We know the one that was arrested early on, but we don't know of anyone else publicly other than Nanos uttering this out loud. Would he have that knowledge? I mean, because to me, it's like it's either they have or they haven't. What do you mean you think? Like, were you not paying attention when the FBI, you're like busy playing on your phone while you're on a conference call? Like, I think they mentioned something about arresting other people. Or is it just is he just speculating as if he's now a spectator and he doesn't hold the title of Pima County Sheriff?
Well, those words are speculation words. They're not definitive words. Like, he didn't say they have made arrests. He said, I think they made arrests. And that's the difference there. Now, would he know? If he wanted to know, he would. Because, you know, it really depends on the relationship that both Pima County and the FBI have right now. Because there's a huge amount of professional courtesy that goes back and forth between law enforcement. I mean, if you have a good, healthy relationship with the people you're working with, especially on a case like this, if someone's going to make an arrest related to your case, even though it's not going to impact, you know, certain other things, yeah, you notify the person you've been working with. You know, whether it's an official task force or an ad hoc task force or just a working collaboration, working group on this crime, that's what you do. You have collaboration and you share information, you share details, and you share it with the lead investigator, not necessarily him. And that's where it's also interesting too, because like, so say I'm on the FBI side, I'm leading the FBI team on the Nancy Guthrie investigation. And I now know, first of all, you typically notify people that have any kind of tendril on this, that you're about to make arrest on this. And unless you've been dictated by headquarters, not because they've known to have leaks. I've had that before too. I mean, I remember right after 9/11 in New York City, I'll never get this. Oh my gosh. We got a lead to drive out to this hotel that we knew one of the hijackers had stayed at in New York prior to this. Mm-hmm. I had gotten this lead. I hop in a car. I'm in there with an NYPD guy and a couple other agency people heading out there. We had just gotten this lead in, and I hear the NYPD guy talking to his sergeant on the phone. He hangs up the phone with a sergeant. 3 seconds later, we're listening to the AM radio on the way out. It's being reported on the news exactly what was just said. I was like, holy shit. In those cases, your bosses then tell you, don't share this because it goes blah.
Yeah.
But typically, that collaborative environment that's created by case agents and investigators, they will share information like that because it's important for the investigation. So sure. You don't step on each other's toes. And that's why him saying, I think, no, he should know. He should know. I'm kind of befuddled by this.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like an I think type statement to make. But I mean, I guess enough on that. It's certainly an interesting headline. It's an interesting statement that was made. Maybe he'll clarify himself. Maybe he won't. I don't know if he's just talking like in general about the FBI, the way he spoke of like, yes, they've arrested people who've made fake notes in other cases. None of it was caveated. That's what makes it so confusing. It's like, well, are they honing in on more? So, I don't know.
If you understand him and the data points he's given us, it's part of his arc. His arc is he talks to everyone, news, media, and probably his family and friends is exactly the same. He doesn't have a filter for understanding where he's at, his audience, and who he needs to be communicating effectively with. I think he's got one mode of communication, which makes him extremely predictable and which is makes him chaos.
Which is pretty much what he admitted from the day one of I'm not used to people taking my words seriously. That's the last thing I think any sheriff should ever have come out of his mouth. But okay. Let's talk about the ransom notes a little bit because there seems to be a lot of noise out there on it. And I'm going to do my best to try and break this down a little bit. Coffin Daffer did a piece on this on her channel the other day over the weekend, Break the Case. Check that out too, because she really tries to help you understand, because it is very confusing. You got the first two notes that went to TMZ, that went to local TV stations. They're a little bit different, but from what we understand, and this is the best I can put it, is that those were likely from the same people, the first two notes. Now, there in total might have been about four or five notes, but some to TMZ, some to local TV, but essentially the same message across the board to different outlets, essentially communicating the same sort of things. And also the same sort of things about she's dead. There's some that say they're sorry. There's some that say that she's not. So you got all that. Then you have this other string of emails that have come in. We don't know if they're connected to the first two because we do not know if they are the same IP addresses. I want to be clear as day about that. There is no one out there that knows that these are the same IP addresses other than law enforcement. That has never been publicly stated, despite what you may hear on the internets or other shows. We do not know that. We don't know if it's the same IPs. And so there's that. So we don't know if they're coming from the same people. But there has certainly been a string of more notes that have been coming in to TMZ that do share the same IP, not necessarily the original IP from those first two that Savannah and her family seem to take seriously. And this new string has been a pattern. But patterns don't always equal promise. They don't always equal that we're going to get somewhere. Some tend to be coming from predators who are looking for a payday more than anything else. Just because there's a pattern doesn't mean it's all that legit. And there's been quite a few communications with Harvey at TMZ, and Harvey's been publicizing them and talking about them and has even offered to pay the Bitcoin on it. And the FBI told him to pull back. What is your take on that continued communication back and forth? And this is a communication that I'm talking about that has the device in it. They claim they have video of Nancy Guthrie and the kidnapper on this device in a location that they'll tell you where it's at for a Bitcoin. It's a device. It's not even just a picture. It's a device. Imagine the cornucopia of information on a device. What's your take on that second string of pattern emails that Harvey is talking about at TMZ?
Maybe.
Yeah. Big maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So there's a few things that I'd be considering right now as the investigator. If I'm actually making a lot of progress, because again, we do not know what's going on behind the scenes with the actual investigators. We're just getting all the conjecture noise that was being filtered out or invented outside. Who knows? So if they're actually getting closer and doing, you know, in the glass half full, getting closer to seeing who this is and locking in, you know, the potential to ignore that is high. It might be so incongruent with the other data that they're getting in, saying that's just nothing but BS, so we're not going to pay attention to it or put it under investigation for interfering with law enforcement investigation. So that's another charge I could bring up on folks like that. Or they say, well, this might be legit. And because we're not getting anything officially on this, on whether they think it's legit or not, it's really, really hard to say. All I know is that everything we're seeing, that included, the probability of it being related is really slim. It just slim.
And it gets a little more ridiculous as the days go on. One of the later notes that we've understood from what Harvey has said, and I'm not saying anything bad about Harvey here. He's just reiterating the information that he's getting, is that the Bitcoin wallet, the original, is not accessible. So we need to go to a different wallet now.
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it might be a different person or anything. Like, that's not the right wallet. I'm the same person, but I can't get into that one anymore. So why don't you put the money over here? Because I'm certainly the same person. I mean, it's just, that is that's a red flag, I think, number one. But number two, the idea that there's this device out there that has the image on, and they won't, I mean, look, if you want to make the money, show them an image. Just show them a quick screen grab. You'll get your money pretty quick if someone can authenticate that. You will get your fucking money. Then
it's
do it.
Hotline. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you don't have it, you're not going to do it. This is mystery device. Now, this device, I mean, look at every case we cover here. What's the one thing that so many criminals forget about half the time? This and what it can do. The tracking on it. The apps that track you in ways you have no idea they're tracking you on. Your location data. There's so many things that if they were to find this device, if it is involved with this, it would tell them so much and probably not a lot of great things about the person who is supposedly providing this either. It seems like, as they even said, they're like putting it out on a silver platter. I mean, that would be a silver platter, quite honestly, if they have a device like that. But why go through all these hoops to get there? If you truly have this piece of information, this just seems like a circus of the stars to get some information.
In my mind, the only way that this makes sense and might be legit is that if it's more than just porch guy involved, because he doesn't look like he's capable of anything, right? Because again, just pure conjecture, just looking at behaviors on a step. This does not look like a high operationally sophisticated individual.
Yeah.
But good enough not to get caught, right? People say that's fine. So in my mind, it means that there's definitely more than just him involved, maybe one other person, possibly three. If you look at a law of averages, it's two-ish top, right? And then this person would be someone that is like turned on porch guy and doesn't want anything to do with him and wants to make a buck off of it. And the way you get around it is that beforehand you buy burner phones and you just use burner phones from the same Walmart you got the stupid reflective backpack from when you do an operation. I mean, I would typically buy a pack of like five burner phones, you know, once a year for operations I was doing, so I could actually whip one out if we have something I got to maintain anonymity about or something like that. And so it could be everything contained on a burner phone that someone's turned on. Because remember, one of the theories we have on this, if something's going to break, it's going to be from someone. If there's one more person than just porch guy involved, it's going to be someone inside a circle that says, screw that, I'm done, I want some cash. That, to me, would be possible and plausible, but that's the only way.
Why do you think it is, I mean, that the FBI won't just pay the one Bitcoin that that this person to TMZ is asking for? Because it's you're talking about roughly, depending on the moment, 60 to 70, 80,000 Bitcoin fluctuates of what that is actually worth. Now, because at the end of the day, it's going to lead you possibly somewhere, maybe not to Nancy's
right.
killer or kidnapper, but to somebody doing something. I mean, when we look at the sheer amount of
government waste that we have with money. It seems like a drop in the bucket. And even Harvey is saying, I'll front you the money. If it's about the money, I'll pay the money. But even they're saying, nah, hold off. We might be close. Why not tickle the wire, Robin?
Well, that's the interesting question. I mean, we did a lot of operations all the time to gather intelligence, even though if we didn't think it was going to bear the outcome we're looking for, any intelligence becomes good intelligence. And by tickling the wire, as you say, and paying to Bitcoin, you're going to get intelligence. You're either going to get the information that leads you to Nancy, or you're going to find out not to use this line again because this person's fraudulent. And so that gives you intelligence, and it's at a pretty low cost comparatively with everything, right? Which then gives me the conclusion, well, they're not doing it. And all these people willing to pay for this, I mean, hell, you could set up a GoFundMe within 5 seconds to have enough money in it based on a notoriety of this, right? I mean, it would cost everyone like nothing to do this, which says to me that someone inside of law enforcement is saying, don't do it because we don't need to do it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can see not to do it.
There's been a lot of talk in the last week about from various people, and it's all conjecture. Howard Bloom thinks, according to his sources, that it's a dead end right now, that they're not really finding much, that there's not enough, that they're not being led anywhere of any sort of meaning. Marina O'Connell last week made a statement on Megan's show about feeling like maybe they're 75%, feeling like it. I was on Nancy Grace this morning with Maureen. Maureen had said that she doesn't believe any of these notes are real. Pretty much that was the consensus of everybody. You'll see it tonight on Nancy Grace. But it's that I find interesting because Maureen made that statement last week. Everybody was talking about it. We talked about it. Is there a world here where all of these notes, they do lead absolutely nowhere? They are not anything to do with Nancy's disappearance, but they are getting close, but maybe they are, from her take last week, Maureen's take of being 75% on the right path here of getting close to this. Could that exist where all this is just noise out in the ether and it doesn't really matter to the actual investigation?
Yeah, I think that's so. And I misspoke, I think, because before I said it's either that they don't need the intelligence or they're getting close.
Yeah.
Or I forgot to mention, the first thing you and I said on our show when this first broke is that I at the very get-go said the probability of this being a ransom note is slim to none, just because it's so far to the norm that this is not the way it's normally done. In every single other case, it's not been done this way. So if that's the other reason that they're not responding, because they all now believe that every single note's a complete bunch of BS. And I know that you have the ones they had inside knowledge of at the house, the color, where she put the eye on the Apple Watch, what she's wearing. Okay, but I don't know who assessed that. That's the problem, is that we hear these things and it gets spread around an Ethernet, but you have I don't have any idea the veracity of what I'm, and that's where the frustration is. I don't know the veracity of the information and the original sourcing of it, so to give it any kind of weight of credibility or not. And at the very onset, I thought the probability personally, and I'm always open to change. That's why I live in the world of maybe, because as more data comes in, I love flexing on the fly. I enjoy the mental gymnastics of bringing more data and shifting what I think as more accurate information comes in. But at the very beginning, based on my research, based on past cases, just didn't fit what happens. But I don't know. But again, which the behavior we're seeing today kind of confirms that, if it's one of those options that we saw. Either they're getting really close and they don't need it, or they think it's complete bunk to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, maybe it will bring out opportunists and they can bust them at the very least. I guess, I mean, I'm going to have to, I mean, my conjecture, my feeling, I don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious to get your thoughts. At this level, in this case, we're this far in, there's already been this pattern of gazillions of notes coming in. Are there far more notes coming in to places than we're aware of, and only certain ones seem to be making the cut to what's getting out there publicly. I know you know people who've received notes that no one knows about yet, and probably never will because they don't lead anywhere. I'm just wondering how many opportunists do you think are out there trying to get some money out of this that are not very sophisticated? They're not even really thinking about how their verbiage is in their letters. Ransom notes saying USD. There was one that I believe was reported to call Savannah Guthrie Samantha. There's all these little things. I mean, this just seems like a cornucopia of opportunists trying to get some attention here, trying to get some money. How difficult is that from an investigative standpoint then to say who's legit? Because it's not like anyone's going to be like, oh yes, this IP that goes to that house, and we know that's where a lot of killers tend to live. I mean, it's how do you decipher all of that noise?
Yeah, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of noise, and I guarantee there's tons coming in, or have come in at least, and if not more. Whether they're going for money or notoriety, criminal notoriety is a great motivation with a lot of human beings in cases like this. And so here's what I'm hoping at this point of investigation, because this is what typically happens, as you've narrowed the field of what you're looking at, and if Maureen's correct and they're getting really closer here, 75%, as she said, or just glasses half full, as I say,
yeah.
That helps you filter out this riffraff, because if you're looking at, because I always use my visuals, if you've narrowed your scope, you've had 40, 50,000 leads, whatever you had, and you brought those all down to right around in here. And you're right around in here, and where you know IP addresses that were actually involved with it, or maybe they weren't involved at all. You know, based on what you've done investigatively, you're right in this zone right here. If you see something, a noise coming from out here, out here. In other words, all the notes that aren't fitting in that filter you've created, you're not paying attention. Are you going to have to farm one out to chase them down because we cover every lead? Yes, but it's get assigned to the agent that just got assigned the field office in his first week. That's typically how these things get filtered down.
Yeah, it's going to be real.
It's a lot. It's a lot of bandwidth.
It's a lot of bandwidth. There's a lot of noise. There's only so many people that can run all these things down. And it certainly doesn't feel like it helps anything when you get statements out there like, I think, okay, thank you for your thoughts today.
And that happens with us. I mean, I get a lot of text messages through all my social media with people with great theories, great this, send me photos of things. I mean, it's and you want to respond, but at the same time, you really can't, because you got to filter these things down, because people come up with some wild things that sound really, really good. Remember, human beings are the only organism on this planet that see and create patterns where they don't necessarily exist. And most of the time, they don't. And so if you want to see something happen the way you want it to happen, or you think you've locked on to what it actually is, you'll start seeing confirmation bias all over the place that kind of zero it in, and then, blah, there it is. That's what you have to filter through.
And I think there's so much of that going on in this case of confirmation bias, because people want to believe that where they're going with it is going to lead somewhere. And it's not that anybody wants to take, I mean, I'm sure some people want to take people down wrong paths for clicks, but I don't think most people have that intent. It's just people dig in, they feel solid on what they believe, and they go down the path of confirmation bias. And before you know it, you're getting a phone out of a mailbox somewhere after you paid a Bitcoin, and you got a picture of Nancy Guthrie on an island with her arm around Tupac and JFK. And it's like, oh, well, that's not quite what we thought we were going to find here. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. And no, there's no picture, although I'm sure there will be after this. Your thoughts on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.